Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Where whosoever, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, whosoever believes, Nicodemus must have been blown away, because Nicodemus was a Jewish man and he was raised to believe that, listen, only the Jews are going to find favor with God. Jewish men would pray in those days. They would pray a prayer that had a part like this. It would say, God, I thank you that I am a man, not a woman. I thank you that I am a Jew, not a Gentile. And he's thankful that he's not a slave. Listen, he didn't want to be a Gentile because they had a word for us back then. They regarded the Gentiles as dogs. As far as a Jew was concerned, there was absolutely no hope for a Gentile. But Jesus changes the whole understanding. He changes all the religiosity of the day. And Jesus said, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, hallelujah. This message is for whoever. This endless love is extended. The scope, it's for everyone. My friend, this morning, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. You know, the Apostle Paul, in our day, he would be regarded as a religious terrorist. Because before he got saved, all he was doing was going around killing Christians, getting opportunity to tie them up and lock them up. He was a terrorist, but Jesus saved him, and he became the great Apostle Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament. My. I'm so glad this gospel is for me, because I was only 9 years old. I was scared that I would go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. And I received Jesus Christ, and he saved me. And he lives in my heart. He has never left me. And I can assure you, he will never leave you either. This love is available to everyone. But secondly, as we talk about the scope of this love is not only for everyone. The love is everlasting. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he would have everlasting life, he meant just that. For God gives forever life. And not even the devil in hell can steal it, because in John's Gospel chapter 10 and about verse number 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Around verse 38, they shall never perish. He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Nobody can pluck us out of God's hand. Once we come to Jesus, our eternal life is secure. I can't even lose it, because Jesus is holding on to me. Amen. The security of my salvation is not based on my effort. It's based on the power of God. And he says he will keep me forever. It's good to know that we can have a forever life. But you know, sometimes you could live a long life, and sometimes the quality of the life is pretty lousy. You know, we thank God for life. But I'll never forget my daddy when he was in his early 60s. His memory started going. By the time he got to his late 60s, he didn't know any of us. He didn't know my mom. He didn't know anybody. And he was alive, but it wasn't a high quality life. And so some people say, well, I don't know if I want to live forever, because I don't know what that's going to be like. Well, let me assure you, the life that we're going to live forever is a life of quality, because listen, God is actually going to give us a brand new body. Amen. He's going to give us a body. The Bible says it's a body that sickness cannot affect. It's a body that will never have pain. It's a body that the coronavirus will never affect or any other virus for that matter. Hallelujah. It's a body like what Jesus had after his resurrection. It's the type of body Jesus had. The Bible calls the body we will get a spiritual body. It's not a spirit. Listen, it's actually a body, because we're going to need a body to enjoy all of what God has prepared for us. But hallelujah, we're going to live forever, and we're going to be with Jesus forever, and it's going to be bliss. But let me say this to you. Right now, the minute you trust Jesus as your Savior, that eternal life begins. The love story with Jesus begins the moment you trust Jesus. That moment, the endless love begins. And God comes, he comes by his Spirit, and he lives within you, and he helps you through all the drama of life. Right now, you may be so stressed out by the coronavirus. You may be stressed out because you're wondering about your financial situation. You may have lost a lot of money in your 401k, and you're stressed out to death. Listen, I want you to know that when you come to Jesus, he is there, and he's able to help you through all of life's struggles and trials. God is with us, and I'm so glad he can comfort us and he can help us, and we can turn to him right now. Once we come to Jesus right here on earth, this endless love begins. But when we go to heaven, it gets to a new dimension. We will experience the crescendo of this endless love of God. Because right now, we can only see Jesus by faith. But can you imagine what is going to be, my brother and sister, when we see Jesus by sight, when faith gives place to sight, and we shall see Jesus himself? It's good to know we're going to go to heaven, and we'll be able to talk with the Apostle Paul, and we'll be able to talk to Moses and Abraham and David and all the great patriarchs and all the great men of faith who have gone on before. But what an amazing thing it's going to be when we shall see Jesus. We're able to see the nail prints in his side. We're going to see the piercing through in his hands and his feet. We see the piercing through his side. We will be able to see Jesus. And for all the countless ages of eternity, we shall be able to worship him. But don't forget, in heaven, we'll also not only be able to worship him, we'll be able to praise him for all the incredible arrangements he's making for us. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus is coming again. He came to the cross. He died for our sin on Good Friday. On Easter Monday, he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. But hallelujah, he's coming back for us one day, and we shall behold him. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. The best is yet to be for the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the word of God tells us, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the imagination of the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them who love him. It hasn't even entered. Listen, the Bible says God has revealed by his Spirit. His Spirit is giving us a little droppings, a little foretaste of what is going to be. But what in the world is it going to be? Bible says it does not even enter the imagination of the heart of man. No matter how great an imagination you have, my friend, heaven is going to blow your mind. And I'm so glad I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be with us in heaven? Do you have a seat reserved? Oh, my friend, this morning, when we give the invitation, I trust that you will come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, the scope, the source of this love, God, the scope of this love, it's everlasting love, and it's available to all. But finally, the sacrifice of this love, the source of this love, the scope of this love, and the sacrifice of this love. A man called his girlfriend and said, darling, I love you so much. I would cross the greatest ocean just to be with you. He said, I would fight a a jungle full of lions just for you. He said, there's nothing I would not do just to be with you. And he said, if it doesn't rain today, I'll come and see you. That was not what you call the sacrifice of love. But God's love for us surpasses anything you will ever experience. And John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die on the cross for our sin. I've heard somebody say that the word so is the biggest little word in the dictionary. You know, so there's only three words in the whole dictionary that are smaller than the word so. A, if I'm right about it, A is smaller, I is smaller, and O is smaller. Those are the only three words in the dictionary shorter than the word so. But so is a small word, but it's so big. Can you picture that, Mom? As a little girl says to her, Mom, I love you so much. That little so is so small, but Mom knows that that so is really a very big amount of love. I love you so much. That first Good Friday, God said to us, I love you so much. As Jesus Christ was hung on that cross of Calvary, listen, his hands were nailed to the cross, and God was saying, I love you so much. Listen, there was no cakewalk. What Jesus endured for us on the cross, when he was paying the price of your sin, when he was expressing his love, when he was paying the price so that you can experience his endless love, it was no cakewalk. On Good Friday, I told you a little bit about what happened there. That Thursday night, Jesus was rounded up in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was subjected to six different trials. Can you imagine that? Six different trials in the course of the night. That morning, he was taken early because they were in a rush. They wanted him on the cross by 9 o'clock that morning. So after these six trials, they had to be in a real hurry now. And so they took him to the Praetorium, and they scourged him. And I tell you that scourging, every time we stop to think about it, and we should stop to think about it, because listen, Jesus was scourged to pay for me and you that we can have everlasting life. Listen, God, 39 lashes. They tell us 40 lashes was almost certain death. He was given one lash short of death. And then he was made to take his cross in his weakened state. He was made to take this cross up the hill of Calvary. And at 9 o'clock, he was crucified. He was nailed to this cross at 9. Of course, by then he had been crowned with thorns, with spat on him. We had done all the disgusting things we could possibly think of. But listen, at 12 o'clock that day, God the Father poured on him all the judgment our sin required. Jesus paid the penalty for every sin you have done and every sin I have done and every sin all the billions of people in this world have done. Jesus paid for all. And in the middle of the night, the middle of that darkness, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But thank God, 9 o'clock, he was put on the cross. Noon, the sun was darkened. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, it is finished. What was that all about? Everything that was necessary to pay for your sin, everything that was necessary to pay for my sin, everything that was necessary to secure and begin this love relationship with Jesus had been taken care of, and now the love story of the ages can begin. The family was watching a movie of the life of Jesus. And when they got to the part of the crucifixion, the little six-year-old girl, you know, the six-year-old daughter, she's watching and she was cringing and tears were flowing from her eyes as she saw what they were doing to Jesus, all of this brutality. And it was so hard to watch. But then they took him from the cross And they laid him in the tomb. And a big smile broke on her face. And she snuggled up to her dad. And she said, "Now comes the good part." You see, this little girl knew the story. She knew that Good Friday was not the end. She knew the good part was coming because she knew that the grave could not hold Jesus. Amen. Listen, he broke the bars away. And as the songwriter says, up from the grave he arose. Jesus on Easter Sunday rose triumphantly from the grave. We serve a risen Savior. My friend, if he did not rise, there would be no endless love. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ is alive. And because he's alive, we are people of hope. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we Christians would be of all people the most miserable. But hallelujah, he says, but now has Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And I'm so glad to proclaim a gospel message of a Savior who loves me and went to the cross and died for me, was buried, but he rose again. And it's a gospel message that says, and one day he's coming for me, and I will live eternity with him. And God, I'm not special. Listen, young man, I'm not special. Young lady, I'm not special. The same is available to you. You can experience God's endless love just the same way I did. You say, Brian, what do I need to do? The text actually answers you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you catch it? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize salvation is available by faith? You know, we would rather do something. I've been to places and I've seen people climbing on their knees up flights of steps, stopping on every step to pray and ask for mercy from God. But my friend, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how much you give to the church, none of that can pay for your salvation, because salvation is simply by faith, by grace through faith. Grace, God's part. Faith, your part. But it's not just faith in the head. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us we must believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and believe in our heart. My friend, if this morning you would open your heart to Jesus and admit to him that you're a sinner and thank him that he died for your sin, and if you would receive him by faith, ask him to come into your heart and to save you and to cleanse you and to make you one of his children. Listen, if you do it and you mean it, he will do it. Because he says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. But let me just say one last thing. I hate flying standby. I don't know if you've ever flown standby. Sometimes when I fly, they change the size of the aircraft, and the new aircraft can't fit everybody that was to be on the last one. And suddenly I find myself with a standby seat. The standby seat means I may or I may not get on. So they usually say, when I go to the counter, they say, "Mr. Grant, don't worry. As soon as we have a seat for you, we'll give you a call." And after I've waited 10, 15 minutes and I haven't been called, I am so anxious, particularly if it's the last flight of the night, for crying out loud, if I don't get on, I am stuck out here. I want to go home. So every now and then I'll go and I'll say, did you find a seat for me yet? "Mr. Grant, I told you we will call you. But yes, but I'm anxious. I want to know. I want to make sure I have a seat." Are you that anxious to make sure you have a seat for heaven? I've met so many people who seem to be although they don't want to stand by on American Airlines or British Air or wherever it is. It seems that they're quite comfortable flying standby to heaven. When you ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven? I'm not sure, but I think so. Well, how come? Because I joined the church, I'm baptized. Are you sure? Your name is in the book of life. No, I'm not sure. One young lady said to me years ago, she said, Brian, you're just so presumptuous. How dare you believe that you're saved and your name is in heaven and you're sure you're going there? I said, my friend, the only salvation worth having is a sure soul salvation, because my Bible tells me that these things are written that you may believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. These things I have written to you, that you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? If you're not sure, you need to deal with it right now. This morning, you can start this endless love. And you can make sure your name is in the book of life. You can stop flying standby and make sure you're ready for heaven. Would you do that right now? Why not talk to God? Just say to him right now, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Admit to him you're a sinner. Tell him, God, I admit I'm a sinner. Let him know you can't help yourself, but ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to come and live in you. And if you do that, he will hear you and he will save you. My friend, perhaps you're that person I spoke about before, that person who once walked with Jesus, but you have stopped. You got sidetracked. Why not come to him this morning? Say to him, God, I've wandered far away, but now I'm coming home. Do it right now. Don't delay. Satan wants you to put this off. But I encourage you right now, while the Spirit of God speaks to you, you do business with God and invite him to cleanse you and to change you and to make you ready for heaven. I pray you'll do that right now. And Father, as individuals are praying, I pray, God, that there might be many who would trust you even now and begin this great love story. Experience your endless love. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Thank you for coming back to life. Thank you that you're coming for us. We love you and we worship you. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.